Freude.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day. God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day.
Boy, you are going to pay for that. I'm glad to be here. I'm reminded, and I may have pulled something on Bob, the first time I was in Imperial, Tennessee with him, and, like, we're normally running late, and but we couldn't find the church, actually. And the first time we'd been there, and we came in about 10 minutes late, and we didn't know what kind of services they wanted or anything, so we asked Sister Pasco, "Now, what kind of service would you like this morning?" And she says, "Boys, I tell you what we're going to do. First, you're going to preach, and then you're going to preach. So it's your turn, Bob." I am thankful to be here. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand before you and preach the gospel of Christ. And I hope every one of you have come prepared and to this reunion to take something home with you. You know, we kind of gather in and gain strength and feel good, and we go through the different prayer services and the sacrament service and hear the sermons, and we get a lot of strength in that, and it encourages us. You know, what we have to remember is there's a need for us to take it with us and put it to practice in our lives, or all this is for naught. If we just leave here today and not decide that we're going to make a change, that we're going to do something different, that we're going to serve the Lord in any way that we can. If we haven't accomplished that, then it's for naught. So I want you to think a moment and focus in and think about the different sermons and the different services that we've had and kids for the things that have happened to us this past week, and kind of focus in and think about what it is that you're going to bring home with you and what you're going to do with it and how you're going to make a difference in your neighborhoods and your schools and your workplaces and wherever you might be. Because that's our responsibility. You know, we here are a few members of the Church of Christ. Few humbler followers of Christ. And it befalls upon us, even though we're small and weak, befalls upon us to spread the gospel. Each and every one of us. Joel mentioned it in his sermon the other day. We all have a missionary outreach wherever we might be. And we need to live up to that responsibility and ask our Heavenly Father for guidance and direction in that behalf. That we might let our light shine. That we might be that sunbeam that Sam was talking about. That we might serve our Heavenly Father. That there might be others that see the light of Christ in us. And might have a desire to search the scriptures and to ask the questions and to pray about what it might be. And although we're few, and you know, we look at the immense task at hand, we've got a promise. And that promise is, this is an everlasting gospel. That kingdom that was brought forth was everlasting. It was going to be. And that's a promise of God, and we're part of it. And we need to stand on that promise and know that our Heavenly Father won't let us down. You know, the scriptures tell us it takes faith to wrought miracles. And it goes through, and if there's only but one of us that has the faith, miracles will be wrought. But it takes one. That gets it down to a personal level. You can't look at the person next to you and say, boy, I sure wish Bob had faith. Because if he doesn't, I'm it. Or you're it. And God has promised us as long as one of us. You know, we had a real good time at camp this last week. And I never did see those kids that quiet all week, by the way, as they were when they were up here. But I want to tell you, we can all learn a lesson from them. And as I was last year, I am this year, I am enthused about our kids. They're good kids. I didn't say they were perfect. The scriptures tell us to work unto perfection. Yeah. But they're deep thinkers. And they can probably teach us a few things because they can stand and testify and not have walls and barriers and personal things to keep them from it because, you know, they haven't been geared to that. They're honest one with another. They can pour out their hearts to Christ. And they aren't burdened with as much pride and what have you that we might have. So we can learn a lesson from them. And we need to be an example for them as we go on. Our brother Alvin, as he talked last night, said that everybody used his. I had a few more scriptures left, and he used them. And then Jay got me on my last one this morning. But I like us to be mindful of the thoughts that went. Now, I missed Hugh's sermon and Brother Sheldon's. But I know about what it is, and you know what it is. You know, you're preaching the gospel, telling us that we need to believe in Christ, believe that He is, and believe that He created all things, both in heaven and earth. You know, we can't comprehend all the things the Lord can comprehend. And, you know, we spend a lot of time and effort in our life trying to do that, and a lot of worry. And we're in despair, and we're wondering, and we get all worked up. Believe me. we can't comprehend all the things the Lord can comprehend. We have things happening in our lives and we wonder, how, why me, Lord? Why me? But we've got to place our trust in Him. We've got to place the trust in the fact that He is God. He is unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we need to stand on that fact and rejoice in it and move forward and follow His commandments. Yesterday morning, no, excuse me, I'm going to go back to Friday night. Our brother Frank, you know, the completeness of life is what you live it for, if I have that right, is what he talked about. And he told us of the need to believe and to have faith and to repent of our sins and to be baptized. And I want to tell everyone here that hasn't done that, that there's a need to do that. You kids, listen up. There's some of you that haven't taken that step. But I want you to pray. And you adults, there's some of you that haven't taken that step. And I don't want you to do it because I said it or one of the ministers said it here. I want you to pray about it. I want you to open up your hearts and your mind and let the Lord work with you. And let that seed grow and nourish it. And believe in it. And I want you to search the scriptures and read them and pray for understanding. And let the Lord touch your heart, that you'll be committed, that you'll be willing to make that covenant with your Heavenly Father, that you're willing to obey Him and to keep His commandments and to serve Him all the days of your life. And I hope you take that with you. There's a need. It's the only way that you can enter into the kingdom. The only way. And there's more to this life, or more than this life. You know, the scriptures tells if it's in this life only we have hope in Jesus Christ, we are nothing but miserable. There is a life eternal that's available to us, that we can reign and live with our Heavenly Father. Book of Revelation states, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And that's, you know, that's a statement, that's a promise of God. That there's going to be a time that we're going to stand at the judgment bar. And the book of life is going to be opened. And our name needs to be in it. Those that have sought their Heavenly Father and gone down into the waters of baptism. And then they're going to be judged. If your name isn't even in that book, you're out. The way I understand it. Or not in. And then we're going to be judged according to the things that are written. It says books there. We know and believe them to be the Bible and the Book of Mormon, among others, possibly. Because we know that there's some other records that are going to come forth. But we're going to be judged according to the things that are written. We're going to have to line up and they say, Buzz Brickhouse, this is what he did in his life. How does that compare to the example that Jesus Christ set for us when he walked here among the children of men? And we're going to be compared. And we're going to have to stand there, knowing of our guilt. I want you to take that thought with you and compare it to something that's beautiful. Life eternal with our Heavenly Father. You know, one of the problems we have with that is we can't comprehend how beautiful that is. It's beyond anything that we've ever had an opportunity to experience. Eternal bliss, happiness, no pain, no sorrow, no wants, no cares, rejoicing with our Heavenly Father. But it takes action on our part. It takes us to do something with the things that we're taught, the things that have been expounded to us, these things as Frank brought to us. You know, when Joel talked yesterday morning, he talked about sacrifices. It's going to take sacrifices. You know, and he talked about a few that he had made. And I want you to do something. I want you to pray for Joel and his family. And I want you to pray for all our ministry and their family. As we have to leave our families, loved ones. And I'd ask that you pray for our kids. They need a special blessing if their dads aren't there. And the moms and the wives. Pray for them. That's something each one of us can do. And I know we do, and I'm just asking you to do it more. Hold them up. That they might be able to go out in the world and reach those that are searching. Their families might hold together. That the love of God might touch them and make up for some of that love they're going to be missing from their families or from their dads. It's a need for us to do that. It's going to take sacrifices on all our parts and times and efforts. You know, all too often we get satisfied with going to church on Sunday and possibly Wednesday and Sunday evening. And we absorb, we become like a sponge and we take all that. And it gives us strength and we feel good. But we have to give back more than what we get in. There's a need there to serve. The scriptures tell us, in service to your fellow men, you're but in service to your God. We need to go out in the world and serve our fellow men. You know, we've been a little lax at that. Not a little. We've been a whole lot lax at that. You know, we ought to have a model of a bumper sticker I saw the other day, or I was told about, and it says, service is our sales force. And we need to get out in the world and serve the Lord and serve Him. And I don't mean just preaching and teaching. I mean helping, providing, encouraging. You know, we talked about the kids. We talked about the things that are scary. And Alvin mentioned, you know, that we were lucky. Boy, was I lucky. You know, I know each parent here, you know, kind of went through some of their thoughts in their mind and some of the dumb things we did as kids. And we're lucky. And I want to praise my Heavenly Father that, you know, He saw fit to get me through that. You know, one of the many things I was lucky in is that girl that's sitting over there. So I introduced her at the campus, my girlfriend. You know, I wasn't brought up in the church, and I didn't know to pray about a spouse. But I sure hope you kids take this opportunity and remember to pray about a companion. Fortunately, she prayed. You know, I tell this story, and this is the truth. She went out with a friend of mine first. He was a member of a large church, and he was worried about it. He said, well, she goes to this little church, and I don't know. I said, don't worry about it, bud. You can talk her out of that. Boy, was I wrong. But she's been a real blessing to me. And I'm thankful the Lord heard her prayers. I'm thankful for her parents. Yesterday afternoon, our brother Joe Smith talked to us again about sacrifice. He talked to us about the times and the seasons that we were in, and some of the rest of us did. You know, we know all those. You know, we've all heard those same scriptures. I know I've used them. I know we love them. They give us strength. But the cold, hard fact, there's a need for us to do something about it. You know, for some reason, we become encouraged, we're enthused, we're worked up, we're you know, ready to go, and then something happens to us all the time. And I'm talking about myself and, you know, the church in general. And, you know, we let the cares of the world get us down. We got to rise ourselves above that. You know, we have to envision this Zion that's talking about. We have to envision that eternal life with our Heavenly Father and keep that above us to help kind of pull us up. You know, I've been carrying a rubber band around with me for 2 weeks. I could use it. Now I get my chance. And that thought of the vision of Zion, eternal life with our Heavenly Father, and the blessings of God, we need to keep before us. That it might be like this rubber band and kind of keep us up, you know, up here. And as the cares of the world goes on and we go up and down, you know, something always pulls us back. There's some counter force that we can rise above the things that are about us with the help of Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's promised us that. That we have a need to call on His name daily. We have a need to remember the things that we're taught and to keep that counter pressure on ourselves so we can endure to the end. You know, we end up having some conflicts kind of get us down. And I, at one time, I was going to list them all here on a blackboard, and we probably don't have a blackboard big enough for it. But I figured that was counterproductive, and I just talk about, you know. I mean, we all know what they are, you know. They've been around for a long time, and we get in conferences or get in discussions, and we end up talking about them, and they drag us down and get us off track. You know, and to me, that's Satan working on us. I'm not saying that some of those things shouldn't be solved, because they should, but it's only going to be through the help of God at the right time that they're going to be solved, and that's going to be when our hearts are right. So I like to focus on the things that we agree on, the basic principles that Frank spoke of, and build on that, and use that as our strength. And get together and work together, serving one another and others, that we can gain that strength that Chris was talking about. You know, we can gain strength in these things. And there's a need for it. You know, I had the Articles of Faith and Practice here, and I was going to read them, but, you know, we pretty well know what those are, I hope. We believe in God, the Eternal Father, who only is supreme, creator of the universe, ruler and judge of all, unchangeable and without respect of persons. We believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the manifestation of God in flesh, who lived, suffered, and died for all mankind, whom we own as our leader, witness, and commander. We believe in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, which searches the deep things of God and brings to our mind things which are past, reveals things to come, and is a medium by which we receive the revelations of Jesus Christ. We believe that men will be punished for their own sins and not for Adam's transgression, and that as the consequence of the atonement of Christ, all little children are alive in Christ, and also all they that are without the law, for the power of redemption cometh on all they that have no law. Wherefore, he that is not condemned, or he that is under no condemnation, cannot repent, and unto such baptism availeth nothing. We believe that through the atonement of Christ, all men may be saved by obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel, vis-a-vis faith in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance and remission by immersion for the remission of our sins, laying on of hands for ordination, blessing of children, and confirmation of the gift of the Holy Ghost, and healing of the sick. We believe in the literal second coming and millennial reign of Jesus Christ. In the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, that men will be rewarded or punished according to the good or evil that they may have done. We believe in the powers of the gifts of the everlasting gospel, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. We believe the fruit of the Spirit to be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And I'm not going to go on, but those are all those things that we believe in. And we need to remember them and build on them. And use those as a bond. What I'd like us to work on here, if you can take something with you, and there's a need within the church, that I wish rather than putting our time and effort and on the conflicts that we might have and the things that we might not have a full understanding of, but that we each work and have a desire for unity within the church, that we might be bonded together by the love of Jesus Christ, that we might together might overcome the things and the temptations of the world. You know, we've got a lot of people that have a lot of strong beliefs and the desire to serve. Sometimes we find ourselves not all going the same way, and it's like a Chinese fire drill. You know, we need to align ourselves in the same direction. We need to have the same thoughts, and we need to be praying about it. And the only ones that can do that, that it might be accomplished, is you and I. You know, there's a thought in some management courses I've taken, and it's called it's 100% responsibility. And there's a need for each of us to take 100% responsibility for unity within the church. And you say, boy, how am I going to straighten out Jay? Huh? That's not the thought. The thought is I have to do everything in my power to make improvements. I have to do everything I can do to prevent conflicts from happening. I have to do everything I can do to ease disunderstanding amongst the members. That means I might have to pray for a brother or sister or for myself or over certain situations. You know, there's another thing that another concept is called win-win. That when we get into conflicts, we're going to decide, you know, there isn't going to be a winner and a loser in these things. There's a need to come to a common understanding. And the Lord will allow that to happen if we allow Him to. But that's going to take a lot of hard work. That's going to take a lot of effort. That's going to take a lot of prayers. It's going to take a lot of patience and understanding. But if we all have in our mind the need to do that, we can pull it off. If that becomes first, that we're going to have unity. And we're going to build on the things that the basic truths of the gospel, the basic principles, and we're going to move forward, working on to perfection. And they'll come if we open up our hearts and our minds. It'll come because the Lord has promised us it. I've got a couple scriptures if I can. I don't know why I wrote all these notes because I haven't looked at them yet. But somewhere I have some scriptures. Bob, do you have any scriptures I could use here?
Yeah.
Yeah, here they are. Yeah, concerning unity, and the first one is on page 260 in the Book of Mormon. Ninth chapter of Mosiah and the 54th verse. And he commanded them that there should be no more contention one with another, but that they should look forward with one eye, having one faith and one baptism, having their hearts knit together in unity and love, one towards another. Having our hearts knit together in unity and love. Isn't that a beautiful thought? We'd be of one mind, one thought. Over on page 274, 11th chapter, 16th verse. Thus did Alma teach his people that every man should love his neighbor as himself, and there should be no contention among them. And how do we not have any contention among us? You know, it starts with us. We don't allow it to happen. That we respect each other. That we trust each other. That we know that we might have a misunderstanding, but through the help of our Heavenly Father, we can come to mutual understanding about that because He's promised us. And we're going to work on it together if it's between two. And we're going to make it a matter of prayer. And we're going to put our trust in the Lord and work it out. That we're not going to allow it to get in our way. We're not going to allow it to get between us and raise tensions and draw us down. For the scriptures tells us that's not of God. And we need to be aware. And we need to have a common understanding and a common goal to remove that among us. To remove it. Page verse, and there shall be no disputations among you, as there have hereto been. Neither shall there be disputations among you concerning the points of my doctrine, as there have hereto been. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, which is the father of contention. And he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend one with another. Boy, we've allowed him to get amongst our midst at times, haven't we? And he's rejoicing in that. And we need to overcome that. And remember, we have a common goal. And we need to build on it and strengthen it and work with it and nourish it. over in Titus, the third chapter. Ninth verse says, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." How many times do we allow ourselves to get caught up in something like that? Get way off the track. You're wondering, how do we get here? And old Satan says, "I got you. Kept you from doing something that you're supposed to be doing." We got to be determined not to let that happen. And Jeremiah, and Bob's going to laugh because it's a scripture he showed me yesterday, and I'm using it, and I got one up on you guys. In the 9th chapter, the 23rd and the 24th verse, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." You know, when there's a point in contention or there's something going on and you get the feeling that, boy, I just won. I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good about that. You better look. Because there might be a brother or a sister or somebody that's hurting. Because that wasn't a win-win. And you need to be mindful of that. And kind of take and think about them and the position that they're in. Or vice versa. You know, it's a two-way street, as they say. In Romans, in the 14th chapter, verse, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another. Edify another. Let's have that in our hearts, in our thoughts. Over in Psalms, in 133rd Psalm. I was reading the scriptures a week or so ago, and this is actually where the thought came out for the sermon. Says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments." How many of you have had the experience? And I've had it. I know there's been others. That have, for instance, asked for administration. And you've had the oil put on your head. And instantly, you know you've been blessed. Before a word has been spoken. And you can feel that anointment throughout your body and it just flows. From the top of your head down to the soles of your feet. And it feels good and warm and you know it's the Spirit of God, that you've had an outpouring of the blessing. It's saying that unity is the same as that. And boy, to me, that sounds like it's something that's worth working for. Because that's going to heal a lot of our sores. That's going to strengthen us and allow us to get through. That's going to let us be able to move in one direction and get an alignment and be able to preach the gospel. Be able to draw others to us and let our light shine. Going to allow us the time and the effort to, quite frankly, to get things accomplished that need to be accomplished. The time's running out. It's time that we do something. You know, like I said, we sat here, we sit in the reunions, and we absorb these things like sponges. It's time that we react to them. It's time that we put them to practice in our life. It's time that we decide to serve our fellow man. You know, I'm gonna get in trouble probably, but you know, I'm gonna say it. You know, how many times do we go to conference and we have all the business and everything to go on? You know, where's our service projects? Name one. But the scriptures are pretty clear about that. And there's things that need to be done. You know, you saw a bunch of kids standing up here. Young adults, excuse me. And they are young adults because they think very deeply. And there's all kinds of kids like that throughout the country. We talked about the times and the seasons. Al talked about it last night. And, you know, the terrible things that are going on in the world. And that we need to get our kids out of it. But, you know, we can't leave a void there either. You know, they have to have things to do. And yes, they need to be taught. They need to go to church. They need to be on service projects themselves. You know, they need to have things to have fun. They need that time together. They need to be able to be among their peers in good Christian atmospheres. You know, and in our locals and in our general church, you know, we need to be providing for those things. You know, we talk about places and we talk about, I've been in discussions, you know, where should we have I'm going to get in trouble again, reunion. You know, I said, well, we ought to have it here. That's a nice, no, we can't have it there because it's hard on a lot of the people to get around. Well, it's true. You know, and afterthought, we say, you know, maybe we ought to have something for the kids too. Our future is our kids and our grandkids. And if we don't start doing something about it, we're going to lose them and the church is going to be hurting. And believe me, they enjoy it. I want you to go back to your local churches, and I know some of you have pretty strong young people's groups. And I want you to get committed, get involved. And not only amongst those kids, but the kids in the neighborhood, and do something with them. Have an outreach to them. You know, I'm ashamed of the fact that one of our local churches, not the Church of Christ, but one of the churches in the neighborhood, Jason, went to one of their young people's thing a couple years ago. He gets a letter from the pastor every week telling him what's going on and what the activities are. They've opened up their doors. Where's our effort? Folks, we need to do something. We need to put it to practice. We need to provide means. We need to have things like camps. We need to have things like study classes. We need to have athletic events, whatever it might be, for the kids. Not only our kids, but the kids that are out in the world that need something to do. You know, Al talked about Nolan Road in Independence. Unless you've been there on Friday night, you don't know what he's talking about, but it's a mess. You know, yo-yo up and down, bumper to bumper. You know, I told a cop here a couple years ago, I see you guys got this all around there, patrolling the streets and, you know, arresting the kids. I said, what you need to do is put a barricade on 23rd Street and on 40 Highway and charge a buck a car as they go through. Okay. And then open up some recreational thing so you can have something in the middle of that on 35th Street that the kids can do. And you got them, all the kids in the county right there, and you can watch them and you know where they are. They're only looking for things to do. They've got those voids. They need to have that fellowship. They've got all this energy, and what are they going to do with it? We need to provide those. We need to work on it. You know, we can't take on all the kids in the world, but we can start. And through the help of Jesus Christ, it can be accomplished. So I want us to remember a few things. I want us to remember those basic truths that we all know and believe, and use that as the basis of our faith, and that we have a desire to seek unity, that we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, our brothers and sisters, and we should prefer them. We should understand where they're coming from. We should pray for them. Pray that if you have a misunderstanding on what the scriptures might be or a thought or whatever it is, that you pray for each other, that you go and talk to them and say, you know, Brother Bob, you know, we disagree on this, and that bothers me because there's no need for that. And there isn't any need. And I think, Brother Bob, that you and I need to be praying about that. Would you pray with me? Is there something we can study? Is there some scriptures that you might know that I don't know that I can study and read about them and pray about them? But unless every one of us walks out of here with a desire to seek that and takes that responsibility to be responsible for unity, you know, it probably isn't going to happen. It needs every one of us. But it all starts with us, and that's the only one we need to worry about. That we let the Lord work within our heart, that it can be accomplished in our lives, that we can seek out those things and seek out those truths and bring a spirit with us of love. And then that we have a desire to serve, that we have a desire to serve within our communities. And yeah, I'm partial to the kids. You know, I like to see us do something for our kids, but I like to see us go back to our homes and our locals and get involved. Provide things. Each one of us has families. You know, we need to work with our kids, our nieces, our nephews, our grandkids, our neighbors' kids, the neighbors' grandkids, and, you know, we need to get them involved in the things that are good. Because they're looking for direction. They're looking to fill a void. They have needs and desires just like you and I. And they can be filled with Jesus Christ. And that's the work of the Church of Christ. Remember that. We're the Church of Christ. It's not anybody else. If it's going to be accomplished, it's going to be accomplished with us, with the Lord's help. And that's an awesome responsibility. And we've got to get going. We've got to move out. We've got to take action. We've got to feel 100% responsible. You know, when Bob introduced me, he said this was going to take a year, didn't he? I'll hurry. They have a whole year, right? We're not going to be back at the Missouri reunion for a year, but we'll be meeting. But let's just take this next year, between now and the next time we meet in the Missouri reunion. Let's be able to stand here in our services and know that next year that we've made a small difference in the world around us, or a large difference, but a difference. That we've taken a stance. That we've tried to work for that unity that I spoke of. That we've just not let this time be of naught. The things that the Lord has brought to us, that they're just going to bounce off of us and be repelled, and, or maybe absorbed a little bit, but not turned into energy. And they need to be turned into energy. I want to read page 225 of the Book of Mormon, one verse, 21st verse. It says, "Therefore I would that you should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord God omnipotent may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, that you may have everlasting salvation and eternal life, through the wisdom and power and justice and mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen." Steadfast. Immovable. Determined. Desire of our hearts to make a difference. Always abounding in good works. Serving. Works. That Christ the Lord God omnipotent may seal you his. That you'll be blessed. That you may be brought to heaven. That you may have everlasting salvation and eternal life through the wisdom and power and justice and mercy of him who created all things. I'm going to close with reading only a couple pages over from there. And I think somebody read it already in this reunion, but I'm going to reread it. It says, 13th verse on page 220, it says, "Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth." Do you believe that? Do you? I know we do. You bet. "Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth." Do we believe that? I think we believe that. You bet. "Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend." Might have trouble with that one. We get caught up on that one. But we believe it when we think about it. And let's think about that. We don't have to figure it all out. "And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them." You must put them behind you. You must have a desire of your heart to change your life. And the Lord has promised that he'll help us to do that. "And humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you." And do you believe that? Sure. We have to remember it. You know, I'm thankful for the fact that the Lord forgives us for sin. Because I know I sin daily. None of us are perfect. But we have to have that desire to make improvements. And as we recognize those sins, that we have a desire to take them out of our lives and change those things in our life. And as spoken of last night, you know, we shouldn't even bring on the appearance of evil to remove those things. It says, "And now, if you believe all these things," what does it say? "See that you do them." We've had a good time here at this reunion. We've absorbed a lot of love and fellowship. We've heard the word of God preached, exhorted. We've heard hymns that were beautiful blessings of God. We've seen the talents that have been provided ahead of us. It's our turn now. It's our turn to leave here with a commitment. A commitment to make a difference. A commitment to serve the Lord. The commitment to do it. Ask that you might remember me in your prayers, and we'll sure remember all of you. Thanks for the time.
The other night, Friday evening, I picked up a young friend of mine after he had been brought back here from youth camp to give him a ride home. I walked in, he was out in the lobby, and I said, your mom and dad has asked that I bring you home tonight. Oh, he said, what? They're not going to be here? And I said, no, they've asked me to bring you home tonight. He said, when are we going? I said, well, I'd like to stay for the service. I haven't had a chance to be here all day. He says, oh. He said, do you realize I've sat through two services a day and campfire every night this week? We're going to stay for the preaching? I swear, he did it. But the treat was, we got out in the car. First thing he said to me was, Uncle Bob, I think the testimony of the service of our week at camp, was Jason had one of his infectious earaches. And he was administered and he was immediately healed. He said, we had a kid that was in rappelling and he was coming down this 50 or 60 foot object. And he was so, and Joel was so amazed because when they got him down, he didn't have the harness on him correctly. He said, Uncle Bob, you should have heard the testimonies that were given. Boy, we've sat through prayer services, three or four preachings a day. And I pray when we leave here, we'll sing the praise of our God eternally, just like Terry did. Because he was excited. And the last thing he said to me just before I dropped him off, he said, boy, I'm looking forward to next year because I get to go to camp again. And I pray that we're all looking forward to 1992, that we can come back to the Missouri reunion. Let's use him. Before I do, got to have 4,000 announcements. Thank you so much. It's not for me? It's not. We found a capo here, so if anybody has lost their guitar capo. Isaac asked that everybody bring your songbooks up and put them on this table right back here. So after the service is over, be sure you bring your songbooks up and place them on the table back here. They have tentatively set the dates for the 1992 Missouri reunion for, again, here in Warrensburg for August 7th, 8th, and 9th. Here at Warrensburg again at Hudson Hall. And those are tentative. Rollins said to be sure and express our appreciation to Dan and to Ron for the great job that you've done for us in recording the sermons, the songs, and everything else. And when you folks write for your tapes and you get those tapes, think of all the hard work that they went through to duplicate them for us. Rollin asked that we all express our appreciation to Jeanette Cunningham for the great food that we partook of, for the great accommodations that she assured us of. You know, at conference 400 years ago, they asked that everybody stand to show their appreciation. I'd like for us to do that to our sister Jeanette.